I mean, like, really sensitive to you, Jesus. Come on, Barbara. Koya tia kamaha sahatata. Neshehiko kokota. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man, just that worship, y'all. I could have just sat and just stayed right there. Kind of like I do at home. We got to learn how to just sit in His presence. Be still and know that I am God. He says, be still and know that I am God. Whatever your struggle, whatever your trouble, He says to you today, I am God. I am God. I fail not. I never change. I call, I summon, I woo. I change not. I will always be calling out. I will always be drawing people to me. I will always be after my little lambs. Glory to God. Esepopando lo licha chabunda pavo. Stay de Rokupa. Ooh, and Dwandendi Spindorastos. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you for this time. God, time. Even the concept of time is for us. God doesn't live in time. He has always been. He will always be. Stay povra cosa. De sakata. You know, when you think about how big God is, it's amazing that He's willing to, if you could excuse the phrase, dummy down for us. The one who has always been. How do you think about that? How Jesus came, God in the flesh. The standard of what He had to what He endured. Man. That would be like you living in a cardboard box for years and years and years, about 30-something years. Confinement. Can only be in one place at one time. Think how God, how He limited Himself in Jesus. God on foot. So that we could end up walking with Him forever. He walked with us so we could walk with Him. Wow. Wow. You know, in all other religions, you got to pay for it. You got to pay for your sin. You've got to do something. You've got to do some sort of sacrifice to appease what you think is an angry God is now mad at you because you messed up or you didn't keep some certain rule. And that particular religion, whatever it is, Jesus is the only one who ever died for His own people. All the other religions, they say, you die for me. If you'll die for me, then. Jesus came and He said, no, I'll do that. I'll even do that for you. I will die in your place. I will take your sin in my own body on the tree. I will die for you. This is what Christianity, why Christianity is so different from all other religions. Every one of them says you've got to earn the right to be with Him. And Jesus came and He said, I have earned the right for you to be with me forever. This is why it's so superior. This is why it's so easy to serve God and so wonderful to serve Him because He loves you. You're not terrified of Him. Not if you're His child. He loves you. He loved you before He was His child. Did you know He'll always love you? Whether you ever receive him as your Savior or not, God will still be loving you. He will love you all the way to hell if that's what you choose. But he will love you. He will love you. Why do people run from this? So much love. And then they get in some religious thing where it's all on them. All this duty. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to. Or this God's going to be angry. I mean, he's going to hurt me. And my life's going to be miserable. And I might even end up in hell. That is not Christianity. Christianity was never meant to be some religious ideation. Christianity is meant to be a relationship with a God who loves you. And yet there's this obedience. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is destruction. So God is leading us in the way we should go, so that we encounter him in ways we actually really want to. It's like anything else. You can't go about it just the way you think. Because our thinking was messed up because of sin. I mean, just the fact that people can't imagine a God who would love them no matter what they would do. And yet he does. There are times when you're just going to have to believe God. You just have to learn to believe that God is who he says he is. He does what he says he'll do if you believe him for it. If you really honestly believe him, don't doubt in your heart. We got to get to where we believe God. That is really like a step of just obedience. But it's a heartfelt, willful obedience of I am exercising my will to obey God. See, it's still your will. Obedience still comes from your choice. But that obedience leads to understanding. There are some things you will never understand until you obey. Sometimes we say, well, I would obey if I understand. No, you won't. No, you won't. That's not how it works. You obey and then you begin to understand. There are certain things that's just the way he set it up. You obey first and then understanding comes. Just do what he says. What did he say? Do it. Well, then do that. And then understanding will come. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. Because it's so opposite from what people think. They go, well, I'll do it when I understand. No, you won't. Because you'll never understand. You have to learn to obey. And because you have obeyed, then that wisdom of God, then it opens the door for him to help you understand. Because you're still way over here trying to figure it out first to decide, do I want this God or not? Do I actually want, I'm going to see, tell me first, God, how this all works, and then I'll serve you. No, it doesn't work like that. So every time you obey God, you gain understanding that you did not have before. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. See, there's a certain amount of obedience that we just have to have. That's called trust. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Remember the old hymn? But it's true. He says, trust me now in this. You know, there's several phrases all through the Bible where God is saying, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me. You can trust in what I've told you to do, or you can trust in your intellectual understanding of just what's here. It's very limited. When it says, in all your ways, acknowledge. I looked that up. The word acknowledge means to consider him, see him, recognize him, perceive him. Perceive. It's like you can perceive. The word acknowledge means to consider, see, recognize, be aware of, know, receive. And for me, it's like him, all this, acknowledge him. That's what it means to acknowledge him. When we're making decisions and we're not sure what to do, do we acknowledge him first? Saying, God, you know you have the answers to this. Or did we just struggle to try to figure it all out on our own? See, he'll let you struggle as long as you want to. Or you could just ask him. And he says, ask largely of me. Say that I will not pour out a blessing upon you such that you can't even contain it. He wants to bless. He wants to impart. But this requirement is this obedience. It is obedience. Otherwise, I'm leaning on my own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. So as long as you're just leaning on what you know, it's a no-go. It's just a no-go. The things of God are understood by the Spirit. See, every time you obey God, in your there's something that was imparted to that you have that now your mind can understand your spirit better. You want your coming and going and your thinking to be in alignment with your spirit, because your spirit has been united to Jesus. And when you are obeying him, then understanding begins to come. It's like our obedience gives us something to work with that begin to alter how we see and do in our mind. Because you're body, soul, and spirit, remember? Remember that? So whatever way your soul is going to lean, it's going to lean to the spirit or it's going to lean to the flesh. When your mind says, I don't understand, but I'm choosing to obey, because that's your mind makes the choice. I'm choosing to obey what God told me to do. Then understanding comes because you've leaned over into the spirit. That's just so opposite of what the world tells us. He said, well, if I understood it, then I could do it. See, there's no faith if you already understand the outcome up front. There's no faith involved in that. If you already know how it's going to turn out, that's not really faith. Faith is when you just obey. And however it goes. You say, I'm in, I'm obeying, I'm doing what you told me to do. And then however it goes, it just goes. And you don't worry about that because you're still right with God. You're still in touch with God. Your fellowship with God is sweet. Why? Because you're obeying what he told you to do. Yeah, but it looks like, well, who cares what it looks like? Are you doing what God told you to do? We've got to get to where we're just willing to obey God no matter what it seems. You see this all through the scriptures. Some of these people, that look crazy. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing what you're doing? I heard the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord told me that, so I did it. All the old prophets, John the Baptist, he was not a fashion designer. I mean, certainly people didn't go to listen to what he had to say because he made a fashion statement, right? You don't have to either. He wasn't moving in big miracles. People weren't swooning and falling on the floor. None of that was going on. And Jesus said, he's the greatest man ever. Never going to be anybody like John the Baptist again. Really honored him. Why? Because he obeyed. He obeyed what looked crazy. He obeyed what nobody could understand. And he just did it. Oh, God, help us just do what you say. You don't have to understand. When my kids were little, I didn't care if they understood me at the time or not. I just needed them to do that. Don't step off the curb yet, baby. You know what I'm saying? And I needed to know that they were going to listen to me or they're going to get run over. They didn't have to understand how fast a car could go. I didn't have to tell them. They couldn't have comprehended it when they were little. Anyway, I just said, no, wait, hold my hand. I don't want to. Hold my hand. You know, you grab their hand. You know, because you can see something they don't see or understand. But if they can live long enough to keep crossing the street and not get run over, they'll get there. You didn't understand what salvation was through Jesus really was until after you were saved, did you? You didn't really understand. You felt your heart being tugged. You knew it was God, but what all that was going to be or what all you were in for, you didn't really understand that at the time. You just understood that you were a sinner. You could acknowledge that you had sinned. You come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. But you knew that you were a sinner, but you didn't really understand a lot of stuff. And somebody said, I have come so that you might have it and you might have it more abundantly. And where I am, you can be also. Because Jesus isn't here anymore. He's in heaven. And that when you die, you can come be with me forever. Because I paid for all your sin. Wow, what an attractive message. It sounded too good to be true. Because if it's preached correctly, you know you're a sinner. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. It's like I've never met anybody that thought they were perfect. That they had never sinned, I'll put it that way. That they had never sinned. But then after you've been saved, well, you begin to understand it better, don't you? You didn't really understand salvation until after you obeyed and simply gave him your life and heart. And then you begin the process of understanding what you really did. I don't think most people know what that really is. Because how would you know ahead of time? Because the Spirit of God has not been united to Jesus, so you don't have a revelation of salvation until after you're saved. So, but you obeyed. You obeyed. You felt God tugging on your heart, and you simply responded. You just responded. Sometimes God is just saying, will you just respond to me? Can you just respond to me? Just respond. He's looking for a response from us. Where we're listening, where we're willing. You were saved by faith in that grace that Jesus provided to you. He did it all. He took care of everything. And then what happens a lot of times in religion is that after that, everybody tries to work real hard to keep it. Or you're going to somehow lose it or something. That's a false teaching. That's a false teaching. If you have become one with Jesus, he has no intention of leaving you. He's not leaving you. You simply believe the message that you were a sinner, you were separated from God, doomed to eternal separation, and you just received. But a lot more is learned after that, because you weren't even hungry for the things of God till you were saved. Which is a clue. Are you hungry for the things of God? Are you hungry for the things of God? Do you want to know him better? Do you want to move in his power? Do you want to be a blessing to people? Do you want people to know him? See, it would be very unnatural to not want that if you've been born again. Because his Spirit came to live in you, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, the Bible says. In other words, we have a kinship with Father God now we did not have before. We're related to God. We are his sons. We are his daughters. Have you noticed, though, that after you were saved, like legit saved, you still struggle with some things? There were some real battles you had right off the bat, and then some came later. And then some you didn't even know for a battle for years, and then you finally discovered, uh-oh, no wonder. Right? Often people are not even told about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. They're not told about these things. And many churches, they never hear that. Well, if you never hear it, you can't aspire to something that you don't ever hear about. Many people have never read the Bible. They don't know what's in it. They know what somebody behind a little box or something or another have told them. If that's all you have, you will give an account still for what you don't know. If you've had a book to read and you decided not to read it, God's going to love you when you walk in, but you're not going to love being there like you could have. It's going to be beautiful and wonderful no matter what. But you're going to say, wow, I wish I had really learned that. My life on earth could have been so different had I known that. My relationships could have been so much more rich if I had known that. God won't read your Bible for you. He won't. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is necessary. It's not an add-on. It's not something that was added. It was part of the whole package to begin with. This is why Jesus said, wait. Wait for what was promised. I told you guys about this. So that was part of them obeying Jesus. After he was raised from the dead, remember, he met with them and he said, go to the upper room. There's been a room prepared for you. That was part of them just obeying Jesus. Jesus had already been on the cross. They were already saved. You mean there's something else? They were believers. Remember, they were believers. He said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending that which the Father promised to you. God always keeps his promises. All his promises are yes and amen. God always keeps his promises. But I find a lot of people are just trying to live this without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know why you would do that when you don't have to. Why would Jesus tell these people who, when he was on the earth, opened blind eyes, healed people, walked in signs and wonders and miracles under the umbrella of Jesus when he was here? They knew he was legit. He was raised from the dead. They met with him. They saw him. They even felt the prints in his side and hands. So they knew he was for real. He said, but I'm going. You were under my umbrella while I was here. But I'm not going to be here anymore. So you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I think this is why so many times in so many churches, people don't even aspire to be healed. They don't even think in terms of, I can be healed. I can be saved, or I can be delivered of this habit or whatever it is. And so they live a life with no power. Man, a life of no power is terrible. It's frustrating. It's boring. It really is. If your every day is like your day yesterday and the day before and the day before, and every Sunday you do this, that's like there's nothing, there's no, like where, I mean, I don't understand spiritually how you could stand it. And I think a lot of people, that's why they walk out. At some point they just can't do it anymore, but it's because you didn't press into what God had. God had more, kind of like that expression, but wait, there's more, like a commercial or something. But it's true. And so a lot of people have never been told about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that you need the Holy Spirit. They say, well, I have the Holy Spirit, I'm saved. You have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. This is what all the apostles had, and anybody who believed. It wasn't just for the apostles either. I mean, everybody did this. A lot more than the apostles were moving in signs, wonders, and miracles. It's like you could turn just about anybody, any believer loose, and they could do that. I said, well, what's the point of it? God's not going to explain it to you ahead of time. You're going to have to obey what he said. Obey what he said. Because if you're not willing to obey what he said, why is he going to take the time to explain it to you? And the Bible does explain it. You will receive power from on high. We believe all the words of Jesus, except those. What happened to those words? You shall receive power. You shall receive power. Does anybody else want power to do the Christian life? Yes. Or you can live pretty much like everybody else. Same old, same old. You think the same thing. You dream the same dreams. Your money goes to all the same places. It becomes like a club. First Corinthians 6:19 says this. Well, let me say this first. For you to try to do everything God told you to do without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is the most frustrating thing you'll ever do in your whole life. This is why some pastors don't make it. I never forget. George, is 80% the first 5 years of people who go in the ministry quit? Oh, I remembered it. Oh, good. I'm getting better. yay for me. 80% of people go in the ministry, but then the first 5 years, they just quit. Why? It's like there's no empowerment. Because this isn't something that I'm going to try this and see if it works. No, if God tells you to do something, whether you think it's working or not, is irrelevant. You do what God tells you to do, but you've got to have the empowerment he provided in order for you to be able to do it. And a lot of people are trying to do things in the name of Jesus without his help. 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Wow, that's a, ooh, you no longer belong to you. If you give your life to God, he owns you now. He's your boss. Your life is not your own. Now, you can give it to whomever you wish. You can give it to the devil if you want to, or you can give it to God. By not giving it to God, you have come into agreement for the devil because you have not resisted. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you don't resist him, he doesn't flee. So you kind of leave yourself wide open for speculative kinds of things. And you can try all kinds of other religions. But they will require you to do penance. You'll have to pay your God off. You'll have to do something to earn this paradise, whatever. In every other religion there is. Christianity is the only religion where God came and said, I've done this for you because I love you. And I have come to elevate you out of just the things of mere touch, taste, and feel. I've come to elevate you. I've called you to a higher walk, a higher standard. I've called you to me, he said. To know me intimately, personally, where you literally hear my voice and you know it's me talking to you. This is how Jesus did everything he did. I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father saying. This is how Jesus got his direction. And he said, when I leave, you must have this same thing available to you. This is what the Holy Spirit is. He is the Spirit of God who speaks to you. He's the Spirit of God that's saying something to you. Do we have ears to hear? It isn't that God doesn't talk to his kids. He does. Do we have ears to hear what he's saying? Did you know that the noise and the worries and cares of life will choke out the word in your life? It'll just choke it. So you had a scripture that morning, but by 3:00, where'd it go? What happened? Had a wonderful time with the Lord that morning. What happens? The cares of life come. We begin to focus on, yeah, but what if, well, I don't know, because they might think, well, I don't know, you know, all those things, the thought, it's the thoughts of the world. Where does that come from? The God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Satan. So you come under an influence that isn't God, is what happens. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, the Bible says. You've got to put a guard and put a guard over the door of your lips, the Bible says. That you've got to be ready. You understand that you're walking around, but there is a real enemy, and he wants to deceive you and trick you and snare you in some sort of way. First Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, God believes you actually gave him you. Did you give him you or just parts of you? See, I'm hearing him talking about the whole of you. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. It was the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This was what propelled him to obey God. He understood that Jesus paid for him. He knew he'd been a sinner. He knew, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all done stupid stuff. We've all sinned. And Jesus came to redeem us. We were lost. He came to us. We couldn't go to him. There was no way we could connect with God. People, they tried, they had the law. God showed them all kinds of different things. And he spoke to people individually, the prophets and stuff that came forth. And there are still prophets today as well. God still speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. God is a talking God. God is a communicator, not just through his word, but through that inner voice that's in you that speaks to you. And it will always be in line with the word of God when he speaks to you. But Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. In other words, he said, I died there too. To him, he died on the cross with Jesus. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's very personal. Paul took this very personally. Do we? Jesus, you died for me. You suffered for me. Have you ever just sat in a chair and really thought about that, what all he went through? And that he did it for you, did it for me? It's almost like you have to see, I was the reason he went there. I was the reason he went there. Make it really personal. When Paul made it very personal, and when he did, it propelled him to serve God in a mighty way. There was no other way for us to be redeemed. There wasn't another way. There was no other way. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. There is no wonderful afterlife with flowers and birds and bees. None of that exists. People are making stuff up. There's not there. I'm telling you, they want to feel good about their sin while they're here, and they don't want to be dealing with the truth or reality of, no, when you die, you will either be in the presence of God or you're going to hell. Hell wasn't made for you, but if you choose to go there, because you're rejecting the redemption that Jesus offers, he will allow you to exercise your choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve, the Bible says. You're choosing. Not just what you're doing here, but you're choosing what you're here means for later. For when you breathe your last breath here. Y'all, this is huge. Paul's whole thing was, it's like he couldn't understand some things until he began to obey. You don't understand some things until you begin to obey. Why would God open everything up to you when you won't do anything with it? See, it's kind of like either you want a relationship with him or you don't. When you have a relationship with God, he begins to talk to you because you're friends. And yet I call you friends, Jesus said. I call you friends. Jesus didn't come as unfriendly. He was love on foot. Jesus obeyed everything God told him to do. And a lot of times for us, you're not going to understand some things until you simply obey him. There are some things you'll never understand unless you just decide, I don't understand, and I can be okay with that. What I can't be okay with is thinking that I've disobeyed him. I can't be okay with that. When I know that I know, he told me to do something and I just don't want to do it. Or I have reasoned it out of the picture somehow. Obedience leads to understanding. You ever sometimes wonder where some people get so much understanding? It's because they just keep obeying. They're obeying. Your obedience, as you obey, then he can give you more. See, it's like there's certain things even in schoolwork. I mean, until you get it, you can't go on, right? And God is very patient. You know, he doesn't have a whip on your back or anything. He's very patient. But I look at Jesus, you know, like he had to have a really full understanding of what he was in for. Paul had revelation. Paul began to get understanding. Obedience leads to that understanding. Paul would have never understood any more if he had not started with Jesus. And if he had not been willing to obey, even though God showed him how difficult his life was going to be from that point on. It was going to be very hard. He told him up front. And he obeyed. And he had tremendous revelation. Wrote like half the New Testament, full of revelation knowledge. Obedience leads to understanding. There's another scripture I just want to pull up in here. Look in Galatians 1. I'll start in verse 10. Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?" See, he thought, or do we seek to please men, people? He put this out there. There's a reason why he put that out there. It was because that's what his whole life was before. That's what his whole life was. He was a man pleaser. He wanted to move up in rank. He wanted the scribes and Pharisees to be so proud of him. He was their up-and-coming darling. Do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Whoa! Do you see that? That's a full stop right there. For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Bondservant. He saw himself as literally a slave. He owed God everything and he knew it. Why? Because God had given him everything and he knew it. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Your best moments are going to come through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, I'm against abortion. There would not have been a Paul had there been abortion. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Smart move. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. Still a smart move. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you indeed before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. Isn't that awesome? That's just so powerful. That is so powerful. So he just simply obeyed. He was listening to the voice of God. On that road to Damascus, God spoke to him. He heard the voice of God. It was Jesus. I am Jesus whom you crucify. Through his people. I am Jesus who you persecute. Through the people who are believers at that time. But Paul's obedience is what led to his understanding. This is why obedience is better than sacrifice. Because when you obey, then you're on the right track of the next thing God has for you. The next thing he can reveal to you. The next way he maybe wants to even use you on the earth. Or the next promotion, even on your job, whatever it is. If we've got to be in a place of obedience to him and not people. People can't give you this. God can give you so much more than people can. And they certainly can't bless you with eternal salvation. The Holy Spirit led Paul. He obeyed. Paul's obedience led to great revelation, didn't it? Great revelation. Oh, he had a way of putting things where people could understand and come into the kingdom of God. God says, "Will you obey me today? If you will obey me, your understanding will increase. In whatever area you know you're not obeying God, please begin to obey him. He'll help you obey him. Look to him for the help you need to obey, just to do what he's told you to do. Don't try to do this on your own. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Use what God's blessed you with already. Man, when you're not relying on the Holy Spirit and what he already told you and the empowerment he gave you, you are only relying on yourself and your own understanding. And he already said, lean not on your own understanding. Do not lean on what you just understand. It's not going to be enough for you to do what I've called you to do in the earth. Obey, and then you're going to understand. Obey first. Obey first, and then understanding comes. Do y'all understand this message this morning? Go back and listen to it again until you got it locked in, okay? I love y'all very much. If you don't know this Jesus I'm talking about today, boy, I wish you did. Life with Jesus is the most wonderful adventure you will ever have. It'll change your whole family system. It'll start with you. It'll start with your faith, your obedience, your willingness to serve God. Make him Lord of your life. Unless he's boss, you don't understand yet. Ask him to reveal even that to you. Why is he now boss? He'll talk to you. Amen. Amen. Oh, Stephen, you have something for your dad. I'm sorry.
Where is your heart? Where do your affections lie? What are you invested in? Where do you invest your time? Where do you invest your money? What occupies your thoughts? Your heart reflects your investments. Let me invade every part of your life. Let me be the focus of everything. Let me lead you into wondrous places. I will fill your heart with joy. Give me your whole life, for I have already given you all of mine.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Wow, that's it.